Open your Bibles to Matthew 24, Matthew chapter 24 this morning, and we are talking about a good subject here this morning. After what we saw last week, you might think that the world's going to come to an end. Well, in some sense, it is, but there's the bad news, as we said last week, there is some great news, and we want to talk about this. None of us, I think, if we were honest, really like a whole lot of change. Well, you might want the change in your pocket, but we don't like change. Change isn't usually something, at least for me. It's not what is our favorite. We like our routines. We like our foods. Some of us will try new food, but for me, I just like the same foods. Peanut butter and jelly on toast. My kids know that, you know, but although Judy did make some cinnamon rolls yesterday, and I like that change. So I guess it depends on what kind of change it is. But, you know, we don't like bad change. We don't like things when they go bad. We would all say, you know, I'm not really wanting to sign up for bad change. But how about awful changes? I mean, things get really bad. And that's what we saw last Sunday in the message, is in the Great Tribulation, verses 16 through 27, and we didn't even quite finish verse 28, but in all of these verses, we were seeing some awful things going on in this second half of the 70th week of Daniel. Things that, and we see the Jews fleeing into the mountains. Fleeing into the mountains, and they have to leave quickly because this beast has abominated and has desolated the temple. He has set up his own self as an idol, as we saw in Revelation, and things are not going to be very pretty. Well, what about good changes? What about great change? Sometimes we actually have things happen that, you know, change for the better. We've heard that phrase, right? Things are changing for the better. Do you know that when you became a Christian, things changed for the better for you? I mean, really changed? I mean, you today, if you're a believer, I think you would all agree and you would testify that when Jesus Christ became a part and you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and you came to Christ, so to speak, things changed for the better. Well, you know what? I'm coming here today to tell you that as bad as things are going to be in the second half of the tribulation, things are going to get better if you're a Christian. Things are going to, and honestly, I don't think we're going to be here in that second, in that portion anyway. But the reality is that there is a future that is really as bright as the sun, S-O-N. So we looked at the great distress. That was the title of the message last week, the great distress that's coming in this great tribulation. Things will be as bad as they ever have been, Jesus said. There will be a hurried fleeing by the Jews out of Jerusalem. There will be a horrible fury of judgment, verse 21, 22. There will be a huge folly where the Antichrist and the beast henchmen and the people that are under and listening to him are saying, oh, Christ is here. He's here already. And he's trying to get the Jews and the believers to come out of their hiding spots. And Jesus says, don't be deceived by them. Because when I come, and that was the fourth point. So there was a hurried fleeing last week, a horrible fury, a huge folly. The fourth point was there's going to be a hurried forthcoming, and that we found in verse 27. The lightning cometh out of the east and shines even to the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's going to come, and it's going to come fast, and it's going to be amazing. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today. Title of the message, in a little more detail, of what is going to happen at the end of the 70th week of Daniel is Jesus is going to come again. And that's the title of the message, Coming Again. Let's break this down today. We only got two verses to look at. Let's get into it today. First of all, there's a schedule of his coming. There's a schedule. The schedule of his coming. Look here in verse 29 of chapter 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days. Well, that sounds like a schedule. You know, immediately, here's what we say. We say it this way. Maybe we don't use the word immediately. But this weekend is the Abbotsford International Air Show. Every year that I've been born and alive has been the air show is always held on this weekend. Now, Judy and I have discussed this because when Judy was a kid, she would get her cows ready for the fair on air show weekend. And she has said that while she is scrubbing her cows and getting them all pretty and prepped for the fair, there's always airplanes flying overhead. You see, at the end of every air show weekend, always what comes next on the schedule is the Northwest Washington Fair. It's always, it's like clockwork. And we joke about this. We know that, and then we know that it's the air show weekend, and then it's the fair. We don't need to know the dates. All we need to know is that if we hear about fair time, we know the weekend before is the air show weekend. It's a schedule. It's always, they've always scheduled it that way. I don't know that they work together to schedule it that way. It just works out that way. I suspect that the reason that they have the air show on the second weekend in August is because the first weekend is a holiday weekend for them up in Canada. Am I not correct? So they probably schedule it away from that holiday to try to at least alleviate some of the, you know, there wouldn't be as many people coming or whatever. But that's the schedule. Guess what? We have a schedule here. And it is the glorious return and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ has now become prominent on the stage here in the book of Matthew. What an exciting section in front of us today. Christ has already come a first time. Christ came in humility the first time. Christ came to die the first time. Christ came to obey and do his Father's will. Now, we know he offered the kingdom the first time, but it was rejected by the nation. But this time, Christ is going to come the second time, we so to speak. He's going to come in judgment. We're going to see that in Matthew 25. He's going to come with some judgment. He is going to finally end Satan's reign of terror, and he is going to come to in glory to reign on his throne in this kingdom. And notice the word, verse 29. Look at the first word. I'm gonna change it. Suddenly, immediately, he's going to come. How much more clear can our Lord speak? The world is going to be experiencing all this great distress led by Satan's man, the beast, also known as the lawless one, and many others who were led astray by the false prophets. Then boom, at once, without warning, it's going to happen. Christ will return immediately, suddenly, after the tribulation, after all that's been going on, here he comes. Turn over to chapter 25 because, and we're going to peek at this just briefly, but I want to show you verse 31 because that's, you know, the question the disciples were having. When is this going to be? What's the sign going to be? When's this going to happen? When is he going to get this kingdom set up? That's what they're asking. But look here at the end of the what we call this Olivet Discourse, one of the longest discourses in all of the Gospels. And certainly by our Lord Jesus, it's one of the longest in answering these questions. He says in verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all the nations, and he will separate them one from another as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. We'll talk about what that means coming up. But it says, when he will come in all of his glory, and the angels are going to come with him. And I think Revelation tells us that we're going to come with him. It's going to be quite a party coming back. And listen to me today. He is going to judge. That's what this section tells us. He is going to judge. He is going to rule from his throne. He's going to judge from his throne. And so he is going to suddenly come back, immediately come back. And let me tell you today that this great event is the event of all events that we are looking forward to. Now, I think probably in one sense, the resurrection is the crowning event of human history, right? I think we would all agree that the resurrection, by the way, if the resurrection hadn't happened, we can't have this one. So we need the resurrection, and we know and believe the resurrection. It is the crowning event for a Christian. It is the crowning event in human history, even if you're not a Christian. But I think for a Christian, it is. But what we are looking forward today as the event of all events, it has not happened, is the visible and certain return of Jesus Christ. It is the visible and certain return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't think there's any other reason other than to take these verses literally. Look at Acts chapter 1. And I know we've gone to this verse over and over, but I can't help but think about it every time we talk about this coming and glorious return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1 and verse 11 says, "Which also said, you men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus," the same one, by the way, that, let me tell you, had been resurrected just a few days earlier, a few weeks earlier, right? This same Jesus, this resurrected, he's in his resurrected body, this same person, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall come in the same manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. It's visible. It is real. It is certain that this is going to happen. And so there's no reason to take these verses other than the literal idea of what is being said. So we see that the same way Jesus left in Acts 1 will be the same way he returns. Let me put it this way. He ascended bodily. He ascended visibly. He ascended physically. He will return the same way. He went up that way. He's going to come back that way. He didn't come back some spiritual way earlier in AD 70. He didn't come on some mirage, you know, in some spiritual sense. No, this will be literal. And I think the scriptures are clear that as believers, we have hope that Jesus Christ will return in glory and he will bring his angels and he will bring us with him. That's our hope. Our future rests in this coming again of our Lord. That is the schedule of his coming. Number two today, chapter 24, verse 29. The second thing is this is the situation at his coming. The situation. What is going on when he comes? What's the background? We could say the setting at his coming, if that would work better for you. Let's look at this setting. Look in verse 29. So suddenly, immediately after the tribulation, after this difficult time, these days will the sun be darkened, and the moon will not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Look at this setup here. Some amazing things are going to happen at this time. The Bible says the sun will go dark. I want you to imagine what would happen today if the sun goes dark. Well, we know that if the sun goes dark, the second thing on that list will not be able to happen, and that is the moon will not be lit up. So we know that the first thing affects the second thing. So we want you to think here this morning, the sun will not, is going to go dark. And let me just put this right here at the front. Let me just say this. I don't have all the answers in understanding how this is all going to work. And I don't have all the understanding that if you think this out logically, how people are going to survive for very long. But I will say this. Let me tell you this straightforward. We'll mention this in just a moment. But if Jesus Christ is upholding all the things by the power of his word, certainly when he comes back again, even if the sun goes dark and the moon goes dark and the stars fall, he's going to be able to keep it all together. So it's going to be an amazing cosmic disturbance. But whatever is going to happen, Jesus Christ coming will keep it all together and it will all work out. So don't get worried that, boy, don't worry if you think that somebody's internet is going to go out. Don't worry about that. Don't get hung up on the specifics. It won't matter to you anyway, because your internet will be working just fine because you'll be with Jesus. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about saying, okay, as you're going to hear in just a minute, I'm going to read a few things that Judy dug up in some research for this sermon about what happens if the sun goes dark. Don't worry about if your flowers aren't going to grow. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about if you think, well, if the sun is, we're going to all be ice by about whatever days. I don't understand all how it's going to work, but I know this. Jesus, if he can keep it all together now, he'll be able to figure out a way then, even if there's no sun shining. And maybe it comes back, but I don't think it's going to be a need anyway. So don't worry about it, okay? But I just reading what it says, I think it's going to happen. Let's find out. The stars are going to fall from heaven. What does this all mean? Look at Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21, one of the parallel passages here. Mark doesn't have a huge amount to say, and Matthew is by far the most on the, all of that discourse that we have. But in Luke chapter 21, I want to just read a verse here for you today. Well, I'll read a couple. Verse 23. Luke 21, verse 23. Woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck. We heard this last week. In those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people. We talked about all that last week. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword. There shall be led away captive in all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Now, I want to read to you in a different translation that exact verse. Here is a different translation. It says, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves. Listen to this last phrase. People fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on in the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. There's going to be fear. Do you hear that word? There's going to be fear when this happens. You know, if the sun went dark today, there'd be some fearful people. I think we'd all like running around like zombies or whatever it would be. Ryan, could you imagine if the sun went dark today? I mean, could you imagine living 24 hours in darkness? The universe is going to change. I have this up here like never before. Life as we know it will crumble and break. There's going to be an alarming display of cosmic divine interruption. The sun goes dark, the moonlight go out, the stars fall, the earth is in distress, and man will be scared, and his heart will faint, Jesus says. It will truly look like the end of the world. This idea of faint, by the way, there in verse 29, that idea is it can even refer to death. And I suspect there's going to be a lot of that going on as we'll be ending the tribulation. But note back here in Matthew chapter 24, in verse 29, notice there's a phrase that says, the powers of heavens will be shaken. You see that phrase at the end of verse 29? The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Who holds all the powers of the heavens in his hand? I think that's what Hebrews 1 verse 3 says. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He upholds it all. He holds all the power in his hands. He is in control. And I think heaven includes the entire universe. Something big is going to happen. Something that Jesus is going to do. Something that he's going to say, you know what, I'm just going to let go here. And I'm going to take, not that he isn't in control of it now, but he is going to be in such control that it is going to be an unbelievable display when he comes. You see, all the things that are going to happen are just a small precursor to him making himself known in this visible certain way. So the powers of the heavens are going to be shaken. They're going to be shaken because now Jesus Christ is going to make himself appear and known so that all will see him, even those who killed him, even those who oppose him. What would happen, by the way, if the sun went dark? What would happen if the sun went dark today? Well, Judy found some good information in Business Insider and a few other places. Well, they tell us, and I'm just going to read a quote here, that light travels at approximately 671 million miles per hour and takes roughly 8 minutes to reach Earth. So guess what? When the sun goes dark, you're going to have 8 minutes, not you guys, but the people that are left, they're going to have 8 minutes to get something done, at least till their batteries and their flashlights run out. They would be able to see the sun in the light in their sky for 8 minutes after it was gone. Therefore, if the sun disappeared, we would remain blissfully unaware for 8 minutes that inevitable doom was upon us. But after 8 minutes, one thing on Earth would come to a screeching halt. You want to know what it is? Photosynthesis. The process by which all plants generate food, it would stop the second the sunlight winked out of our sky. Here's another quote. Most small plants would die within a matter of days. And following that, all of the plant-dependent animals, including humans, would die. But that's not the only thing that we should be worried about. The article goes on to say, Earth's average surface temperature would drop to 32 degrees Fahrenheit after the first week and into negative 150 degrees Fahrenheit by the end of the first year. All the while, Earth's oceans would grow ever colder. eventually freezing over, transforming Earth into an ice world. But just like deep lakes in winter, only the surface would freeze, leaving a liquid ocean underneath. And if any humans were able to survive this extreme transformation, their only refuge, according to Michael Stevens, whoever that is, would be near geothermal vents on the ocean floor. These vents emit heat that wells up from the center of the Earth. Also, if the sun vanished, its gravitational pull would be gone, and Earth and the other seven planets would go flying out into space. So you have death, you have cold, electronics aren't going to work, the internet's not going to be of any use. That might be a good thing. Once things start free-falling, chaos is going to ensue. Of course, if the moon goes dark, we got tide issues. Of course, it won't be too long, and then everything's going to freeze up anyway. Stars falling indicate uncontrolled chaos. You see, it's going to be a cosmic mess that's going to set the stage for Jesus to straighten it all back out. And I think he does it probably in quick spell of time. This will be a frightful time, no doubt. It's going to be far beyond human control. Can you imagine? You know, when one little thing goes wrong today in this world, humans get all flustered, don't they? I mean, you just have one thing go wrong. I mean, you just take a bump in the road. You know, if the road gets a little off, we start, you don't even realize what you do. Do you know, you go down I can't think of any road that's real bad, but sometimes you go across, you're on a county road, and you might even remark to your spouse or to somebody, say, why don't they fix the potholes in this road? You know, why don't they end out there? So you quickly, you make a call, Whatcom County Public Works Department. Hey, don't you know that this road here is very bumpy? Would you please get out and fix it? You know, we want to have things fixed. I'll tell you what, you won't be able to fix this. No human's going to be able to solve this dilemma. It's going to be out of their hands. It's going to be out of human control. It will be only something that God, and I think specifically Jesus Christ, will be able to control. And he's going to be able to set it up so that the sun isn't going to matter, and the moon's not going to matter, and the stars aren't going to matter. But I'll tell you who will matter at that point. And everybody will know that he will matter. It's that Jesus Christ will matter. And so we find here, and I don't have all the answers to understanding how that's going to unfold and how he's going to do it all and how everybody's going to survive without the sun. But I just know there's going to be some crazy stuff going on because that's what God's word says. But there's more because he's still in control. He's always been in control and he's going to keep things together. But thirdly, we find today the third S, there's the sign of his coming. And we find that in verse 30. There's a schedule, there's the situation, and there's the sign of his coming. It says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I don't know how we're going to get through this verse, but we're going to try. Remember the question back in verse 3? Go back to chapter 24 and verse 3. Remember the disciples came to him privately, specifically, again, those four, and they said, tell us, when shall these things happen? What shall the sign be of your coming? What would the sign be, they're asking? Jesus had given some things. He had talked about some things that were going to be happening in the 70th week in this tribulation. He had mentioned some things here, and they were going to intensify along the way. And then the Great Tribulation, we have all that going on here. But they are asking, what is the sign that you're coming back? He had pointed to a timepiece already. Let me remind you, he had said there's going to be a specific timepiece. And that is the abomination of desolation. We know it's the specific time piece because we know when that happens. We said that. We know that in verse 15. We also know that Jesus said, you will see it. He says, when you shall see the abomination. It wasn't going to be hidden. They are going to see it. They are going to know that when this person, this beast, sets this idol up of himself, they are going to know that's a time piece. And there's going to be 3.5 or so years, plus a few days probably, as Daniel attests to, of horrible fury and judgment from God and all of that. And then there's going to be a sign. So here's the question. What is the sign? And let me say this. I have a belief about the sign of what it is. But I will say this, as it seems like always, commentators have different opinions. There's a few. Perhaps the sign of the Lord, I'm quoting here from just a commentary. Perhaps the sign of the Lord's return will again involve the Shekinah glory. Some believe that the sign may involve the heavenly city New Jerusalem, which may descend at this time and remain as a satellite city suspended over the earthly city Jerusalem throughout the millennium. Or the sign may be the lightning, or perhaps it's the Lord himself. But I think the answer is right here. It is in verse 30. And maybe it's a combination of two of them. I think it's right here. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. What is the sign? It is the glorious appearing of the Son of Man in heaven. It is Jesus appearing with glory. So the visible sign will be the glory. But I will say this. Listen, I think the visible sign is glory, but I will say this. You can't have the visible display of the Shekinah glory without Jesus Christ. So you have to include that at least to some extent, it is Jesus Christ. But the visible display and picture will be that glory that is displayed because of who the person is. Listen, people, we have a concept of Jesus Christ. I think we all have concepts in our mind of what God looks like. By the way, whatever your concept of God in your human mind looks like, you ain't got it right, because he doesn't even have a human body. Well, Jesus Christ does. So we have a concept of Jesus Christ that I'm going to guess, if you think about it, if I say, close your eyes today, what is your concept of God? You might say some things. Then I say your concept of Jesus Christ, we start thinking in our human minds, at least I do, we start thinking about the body because he has a human body. He's a resurrected body. So we start thinking of, when we start putting hair and what colors, I don't know what you have, okay? Whatever you have, according to what the disciples saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, we don't get it. We think about light. We think about bright lights. We don't get it. We can understand it to some point. But I'll tell you, when you read the Mount of Transfiguration, listen to me, when he displayed his glory, let me say, they were in awe. They were in shock. They were stunned. They weren't prepared. And here they were walking around with Jesus for all these years. Now, at that point, he wasn't the resurrected body prior to that. He hadn't been resurrected before the Mount of Transfiguration. But they were like flabbergasted. I don't have any other word to say. They were in awe. When the sign of the Son of Man comes, and I think it's visibly his glory, that Shekinah glory, the verse gives us a clue of what that glory is like. But in the English, we can only summarize it by a few words, and the one word that's given is great. It's going to be great. We use the word great a lot. We use great is the name of God. Wasn't that in the Psalm 148 today? We hear that word great. What does great mean? If I ask five different people what the word definition of great means, I'm going to get five different explanations. Now, they'll sound similar, but it's going to be great glory. I can't even begin to comprehend what that means. But all I know, it is going to be so amazing. It is going to be so unbelievable that it is going to be obvious when it comes. It's going to be obvious. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter wrote about this. And you know these verses, but 2 Peter chapter 1. The text, by the way, doesn't say anything about a heavenly Jerusalem coming down. It doesn't say, several of these ideas, it is not mentioning. It does mention lightning, but it doesn't say that's the sign. Some people believe that. I think it's just what the verse says. I think it's Jesus Christ. I think he's giving off his glory. That's what the verse says. I don't know what else you can say. But look at 2 Peter, because we know that Peter and the other two disciples were witnesses of this glory. And he writes in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, verse 16, "We have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased.'" Peter says, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. When was that? It had to be on the Mount of Transfiguration. They had seen it. And it changed them. It caused them to, wow. So the glory is going to be great. It's going to be like the world has never seen anything like this before. I think Adam saw it. I think Adam saw it to begin with. But that didn't last very long. The high priest in the Holy of Holies, to some extent, would have had at least an idea about it. The Jews saw a pillar of fire and a cloud. But let me say this, the glory departed from the tabernacle. We know the verses that talk about that. The glory has departed. But let me tell you, that outside of the glimpse that Peter and those disciples saw, James and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, that little glimpse, that short time, it's going to be, now all will see this glory, all will see this sign, all will see this return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, things will go from bad to really good. From bad to really good. This will be visible in the sky. Look at verse 30. There shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And I think that's, again, Jesus represented by some type of outward manifestation of the Shekinah glory. And I can't grasp all that. But it says, they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. It's visible in the sky. It's going to be visible by the naked eye on earth for everyone to see. I don't understand all that. I can't grasp all how that's going to work. We have a round earth. But I know that's what the verse says. And he's going to come in the clouds of heaven. And let's look at something else here. Notice that, lastly, and by the way, there are verses. You can look in Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Luke 21, verse 27. There's other places that mention the clouds and mention this idea. But there's one more thing. He's going to come in power. He's going to come. Christ comes in glory, and he's going to come in power. The word is dynamis, or dunamis. It means mighty deed, ability, supernatural power. It is all the might of deity, true deity, bound in the person of Jesus Christ. It is the resurrection power. The greatest display of power ever in this world is going to be on display right here. The power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, which I've said is the greatest power display ever, is going to be on display here. That's what it says. It says it's going to be in power. Again, I don't understand it all, but it's going to be resurrection power. It's going to be the same power that created. The power to create. The power of life and death. It's going to be the power over enemies. All that's going to be bound up in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know of verses that talk about the power. He has the power over life and death. He has the power over his enemies, right? He has the power to create. He has the power to be resurrected again. It's a power like no one has ever known except through Jesus Christ. By the way, we partake of that power. You can live victoriously because of that power. And he's going to come back with a complete power. You think, people think they have power. Frankly, lots of people are kings and presidents and they have power. And to some extent, they have a little bit of human power. I might have power. I have a power to do a few things. By the way, I have power to do things you can't do. Did you know that? And you have power to do things I can't do. But that is so little compared to this. This is so minuscule compared to this. And you put all the power of all of us together. And some of us are brilliant here. Joe was an engineer. And you know, we did different things. We have some power. We are smart. It's nothing. The power that's going to be on display here is going to be great. And so, when Jesus comes, the power is going to be so great that things that have been devastated, things that have gone into chaos and blackness, things that are chaos in earth, listen, when he comes back, they're all of a sudden going to be all made right. Immediately. It's all going to be made right. Now, there's still going to be some issues with sin in the kingdom. There's going to be some issues that are going to happen. There's still judgment right after he comes. We're going to see that in 25. Okay, there's still things to happen yet that aren't going to be good. We got a big battle coming at the end of the millennium. Gog and Magog. We got all that to come yet. We got one last opportunity of the devil. But all of a sudden, all this stuff that's been happening, it's going to be made right. And when Jesus' feet touched the Mount of Olives, I want you to see this in Zechariah chapter 14. Look at this. Look at what Zechariah tells us here. Watch what's going to happen. Zechariah chapter 14, the day, verse 1. Let me give you a second to turn to it. Almost done here. Zechariah chapter 14 and verse number 1. Look what's going to happen. So everything is really bad. Jesus is going to make it right. He's going to come in power. He's going to come in this glory. Verse 1, Zechariah 14. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. The city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord shall go forth. Here's another thing God, he's going to do. He's going to fight. He's going to do battle, and he's going to win it. And fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and when his feet will stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall split in the middle thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there will be a great valley, and half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach unto Azal. Yea, you shall flee like as fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with thee. And it shall come to pass in that day that the light shall not be clear nor dark. Why is that? We just said the sun was going to be. Well, it's because this sun is going to make the light. But it shall be one day which shall be known to the Lord, not day nor night. But it shall come to pass at evening, the evening time it shall be light. And it shall be in the day that living waters will go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea and half of them toward the other sea in summer and winter. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord and his name one. And we can read all of what's going to go on. Let me tell you, things are going to all of a sudden go from devastation to glory. They're going to go from horribleness and really just terrible to the king ruling and reigning. This is amazing. It's going to be marvelous. And you know what? He comes right back to the very place that he left. That's what it says in Acts. He's going to come back. And here in Zechariah. He comes also. One more thing I want you to see in Revelation 19. He comes with a sword in his mouth. Let me point this out in Revelation chapter 19. And we're out of time. We just don't have time to look at all these passages of scripture here. But Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. We know that this is who this is. And in righteousness, he's going to judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. His head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, John 1:1. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he's going to smite the nations. And he will rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Those who are ungodly, those who are rejecting him, who aren't already been killed, he's going to take care of. He's going to bring a great judgment. Now, this isn't the great white throne judgment, but he's going to bring a great judgment, as we're going to see in Matthew 25. And those who are judged are going to be sent to eternal lake of fire or hell. And then he establishes the glory of his kingdom. He's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. He's going to set up his kingdom forever and ever. Now, there's one more thing I want you to see in Matthew chapter 24 today. That we have one more phrase in verse 30. You might not have caught it when I read it. Maybe you did, and maybe you're saying, what does it mean? It says in verse 30, it's right in the middle, it says, all the tribes of the earth will mourn. What does that mean? All the tribes of the earth will mourn. Generally, when we see tribes of the earth, that refers to Gentiles. Usually when the word tribes, and it means Jerusalem or Israel, it talks about the tribes of Israel. But when we see this phrase, it is often meaning the unbelieving Gentiles. And here it says the unbelieving Gentiles are going to mourn. They're going to sorrow. Have you ever thought about why? Why is it that these unbelieving Gentiles are going to sorrow? I think they're going to sorrow because when they see this Son of Man, when they see this Son of Man coming in the clouds, when they see him, They will know who he is, and they will understand why he's coming. And they will tremble and they will mourn because they realize their time is up and their show is over. It's done. And they will realize and recognize that what God had said from the beginning of time, what God had written in his word, what God had promised was coming and is going to come to pass. It's going to be a bad time. You know what they say? The best of times, it's the worst of times. I don't know, that's some movie line that I don't even know where it's from. The worst of times is going to be turned into the greatest of times. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? You say, well, Pastor Andy, we have something to go for, to look forward to, and that's the rapture. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But our hope is not just in that. Our hope is in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to set his kingdom up, to rule and reign forever. And let me tell you, every time the scriptures is clear, I keep repeating this, every time we're going to see this in coming up in Matthew 25 in the parables and in what unfolds there, every time when somebody either A, dies, or B, when there is a major event that ends, such as the end of the tribulation coming into the second coming, there's a judgment. And when there's a judgment, that's it. That's it. There's no other options. You're not going to get another chance. So I say to you today, I don't believe we're going to go through this part here. I think we're coming back. But listen, you better have it right. Because if you die today and you don't have it right and you don't truly believe, that's it. That's pretty serious.